I don't know if that global warming is real or not, but it wasn't as bad last year. I'll say that.
All right, you guys ready?
Yeah. Let's do it.
Wait. I'm not ready. I need 2 seconds.
Well, it's the big show.
Yes, it's a big show. Long time coming, guys.
Let's do it.
Let's go ahead and do this right now.
Yeah, I just grabbed mine. Oh, you just got foil around yours.
He's got a Modelo, dude.
It's all fancy.
Nice.
Drank these, I think, for the first time out in Colorado. What you got there?
Beer hug.
I like it. 9.9. All right. Enough with the beer. While we're here, Prime League Podcast, Episode 1. A long time coming for this, of course, guys. Thank you. We put a lot of work into this. Started way back. Started talking about how long ago. I mean, it's been well over a year. It was back when Humpy was in the league. He brought it up. I remember for the first time and kind of gave me the idea for it. And yeah, we ran with it.
Yeah, finally getting it done. Finally making progress.
Yeah, we. Shane and I started talking about it real in depth back, I want to say like March, somewhere around March or so. Started involving Jay in the conversation. I figured he'd really want to be in it. Jay and I have that background in sports talk radio. So
106.3.
We wanted to bring it to you. The Prime League Podcast, it's just going to be us guys. First off, drinking, having a good time, being bros. And we're going to bring you the latest news, details on the Prime League, the Papua New Guinea Prime League, and a lot of commish trash, in which I think everyone's looking forward to.
Yeah, I think that's going to be the highlight. You know, probably our most requested segment of the days.
Oh, man. I can't wait. Dude, Shane, I don't know if you guys came up with your jokes. I know we were talking about switching them around. Passing them around, but let's keep our own jokes today, and we'll see how
that's
that goes.
Good, cause I don't have any because our commish deserves the utmost respect. So,
Wow. Boo! Wish we had a soundtrack. Oh, we need a soundtrack that just goes boo.
Shane, go ahead and say something.
Who, me?
I don't know if you can hear that. I'm beeping you out anytime you talk. All right, but let's get into it. Yeah, we talked about what we're bringing the podcast for. Last year, I mean, it was ups and downs for a lot of people. I mean, my team personally, the fantasy football team, we started off one in five. I don't have the information right in front of me, like 1-5, and fought myself all the way back to the championship game, which a coaching decision on my part, a bad coaching decision, cost me the championship. To one of the other guys in the podcast right now. But yeah, we got the champion here right now. I like that little shiny, not your head, the trophy in the background.
Yeah, it's a beaut. It'll stay here with me until one of you guys win it.
Whatever.
I won in 2021. So, you know, I'm coming back with a fierce, this year I'll be able to draft. Last year was a little rocky for me. Wasn't able to fully draft, traveling to San Diego the day of our draft. Landed about 20 minutes into the start of the draft and never really got my footing. But I did claw my way back and finish 8th at 6-8. I believe I started 0-6. So pretty happy with how I finished out the season.
That's hell of a comeback right there.
Hey, Jay's name is up there on that plaque. Jimmy's name's up there twice. We have Mike up there once. It seems like the only one here, at least in this group, that's missing from that would be you, Tim.
If you have the history, though, I've finished top three the majority of the seasons that we've had this. It's always been the championship game. I've had a hard time getting there, and then I get there last year, not used to being there, and then all of a sudden, that coaching change. What I did was, if you remember, Shane, Darren Waller, who was hurt all last year, came back last couple of weeks of our regular season and into the playoffs, and he wasn't putting up very good numbers. And I had Tyler Higbee on the bench, and thought, you know, let's go with the matchup and let's see if Higbee, who's been playing all season, if he can come out and produce. And I think there was a 10-point differential between them. Darren Waller outscored Higbee by 10 points, and I lost by less than that. So I will give it to you, though, Shane. Good season. Good season. I still think it's a bad idea.
You should probably change your fantasy name from the fantasy football team to the Buffalo Bills. All these championship losses you're racking up.
Burn. Burn.
No, you did have a good, a great season last year, Tim. You, like you said, you started out real rough and then made the necessary adjustments and then brought yourself back into contention. So that was a big deal.
It was rough. My team going into the offseason, I was confident about it. I don't know so much now, but we'll get into that here in a little bit. Let's get on with everything. Here we go.
With the first pick in the 2023 NFL Draft, the Carolina Panthers select
a new era.
I had so much fun with those. And that is not a sound effect. That's actually, it's an ambulance going up Main Street right now. So, okay, a new era, incoming rookie class. So we'll talk about the impact that they're going to have on the NFL. More importantly, the Papua New Guinea Prime League. Notable players will go through, obviously, quarterbacks, running backs, wide receivers, tight ends. Won't really touch on any kickers. Defensive players, if you guys wanted to hammer out any, because they do affect defense. I know we're not going to be moving forward with defenses after this year, but I mean, let's just start hammering out this list. Who you guys got your eyes on? Anyone who you think, let's start with our league, makes a splash in our league. Anyone?
You know, as far as rookies go, I really do think Jaxon Smith-Njigba is going to make a splash, just because he's not going to be focused on it, you know, with their other receivers up there. And if we see the Geno Smith we saw last year, I think he's going to be open a lot. A lot of focus is going to go on DK Metcalf. Mm-hmm.
And you got Tyler Lockett still in there too.
I'm not going to be going for, yeah. And I'm not going to go for Jaxon Smith-Njigba because I have DK Metcalf, and sure, just doesn't make sense. But I can see him really, really being dangerous this year. And Jordan Addison for Minnesota, another receiver. You know, Minnesota got rid of Adam Thielen. They got Jefferson on the other end, who's going to be double-teamed all the time. It's going to create a lot of openings for Addison.
Agreed. I could see Jaxon Smith being – I mean, a lot of people will tell you that it could be a detriment to DK Metcalf, but it might be also a benefit to have a little bit of that spotlight taken away from Metcalf. Not that Seattle, who's been there forever.
Tyler Lockett. Isn't
doing that also. Yeah, Lockett mm-hmm. isn't also doing that for them, but it might be good for them to have some options to spread it around. And I also don't think that he's going to take too much away from Metcalf in the end zone.
No, I don't think so either, but I do think him being, you know, he's a freak athlete, and him being third on the roster is going to give him some good matchups to their third cornerbacks, and I think he can do some damage.
Agreed.
Yeah, he's a top one. Obviously, he was the first receiver taken in the draft. You know, you hesitate to say any quarterback is really going to make an impact in our league just because of the way our point system is set up. But I think a guy like Bryce Young is going to make some noise coming in. Alabama quarterback. He's going to a team that has a lot of promise. They've given up their top receiver, but they do. I mean, you look at their return that they got out of him, all the draft picks for the Bears. So I think that he has a chance, if we're going to look at any quarterbacks out of this rookie class, I think that he has a chance to maybe fill in an empty spot on a roster who, you know, I mean, you see how fragile some of the players are these days, and conservative each team can be, especially with their quarterback. He may be a nice pickup. He's got the same type of talent, capability, play style, I guess you would say, as all the other Alabama quarterbacks that we've seen. Tua, Jalen Hurts, you know, we'll see. I think that as quarterback, I think he could make an impact in our league.
I agree. And I think a lot of the pieces, a couple free agent pickups by Carolina are going to really help him. Miles Sanders and Adam Thielen. Mm-hmm.
Absolutely.
They bring a lot of experience and firepower to the offense that's going to take some of the pressure off of him, especially Miles Sanders. You know, Adam Thielen, he's clutch, but he's more towards the end of his career. Mm-hmm. But Miles Sanders, they get that run game going. That'll give him some time to get acclimated and not have all the pressure to throw all the time.
Right. Shane, who you got? Who's on your radar?
I'm looking forward to Gibbs, man. Jahmyr Gibbs. I want to see what he can do there in Detroit. They spent some capital on him to bring him in when I didn't necessarily think that they needed to. So, you know, obviously that gives you some type of idea of what they're looking to do with him. They're going to use him. They moved up for him. They're going to do what they can with him. So mm-hmm. I'm excited to see what he does. And he's supposed to be in, not epic, but a pretty good pass catcher. So that goes a long way in our league.
Yeah, absolutely.
And Detroit goes and gets rid of Jamal, or they don't re-sign Jamal Williams. He had the most touchdowns in the league last year. They go and they pick this guy up right here. So, like you said, stepping in, he's got some big shoes to fill. But then again, Jamal Williams, oh, man, where did he go? New Orleans, right? I think it was?
Mm-hmm. Yep, yeah, New Orleans.
Yeah, so he's got he'll probably be the premier guy there until Kamara comes back. He's got three games.
Yeah, potentially. Was it New Orleans that I saw was interested in Hunt?
Hunt just signed somewhere. Yeah, I think it was New Orleans.
Well, they were talking about him having a basically a deal on the table if he passed the physical, and then supposedly Indianapolis gave him a ring and was like, hey, we'll give you more money if you come here. So he went to work out with them in the meantime. Now, I haven't heard anything since then or seen any updates since then, but it's going to be a toss-up between him either being a Colt or a Saint.
You know, I think the Colts are definitely more hungry for him and more needy for him with Jonathan Taylor up in the air.
Yeah, up in the air, not knowing what's going on there.
Yeah, Jay, you got a lot of question marks hanging over that position with him up in the air right now too.
Yeah, so I mean, on my keepers right now, I got five of them flushed out, and the sixth one is on pause right now because of Jonathan Taylor. Right now he is in my keepers, but you know, the closer we get to the season, the more news that we start to hear, we're going to see if he ends up on my team or not. It's risky letting him go. Cause if he does play, you know, he's a star running back,
yeah.
But I can't have him sitting there for a whole year.
Some other notable guys. I don't know if you guys want to touch on any more, but Binya Robinson, to Atlanta. and another one that I think is going to make a splash, maybe not in fantasy, but Darnell Washington for Pittsburgh. They got Freiermuth. I mean, well, I'll probably get into this a little bit later again, but they got Freiermuth already there. What impact would he have? Darnell Washington, all 6'7" and what, 380 pounds of rock solid muscle. What impact will he have in the red zone for them? So we'll see.
Yeah, I think, you know, with him, I don't see him making a big splash in fantasy, like you said, but I do think that he's going to help out with Najee Harris. He's a mean blocker. They get into those tight positions. And, you know, with Pittsburgh putting a lot of work in their offensive line and then, you know, drafting him, I look for Najee to have a bounce back year. They're looking to get back to a little bit of ground and pound after not doing so great last year with the run game.
Yeah. Yeah. Not many. I think only one, maybe 200 yard games for Najee last year. Does that sound about right? Yeah. Not Pittsburgh Steeler football, to say the least. Anyone else?
And there was some word in camp that he was handling TJ Watt pretty well, uh-oh, especially for a rookie. So, I think he's going to be a big factor when it comes to their run game.
Anyone else you guys got on your radar?
I'm looking at Zay Flowers, Baltimore wide receiver, small guy. I think he might be able to sneak in there and put up some numbers. I don't know if he's going to be a league winner, so to speak, but I think he might be able to do some stuff, especially with Rashad Bateman. I know he was just activated off the PUP list today, so he is going to be active, so that may change some things, but it's iffy with me. I don't trust Baltimore wide receivers, not because I don't like Jackson as a quarterback, but because it's so much is done with that team on the ground that I have a hard time putting a lot of stock in any one of their wide receivers. But if anyone's going to get it done, I think he might be able to do it.
And I mean, he's got OBJ taking some of the pressure away from him now. Mm-hmm. But again, I'm with you, Shane. I just don't trust Lamar with his arm yet. We just haven't seen it. Can he throw? Yes. But have we seen it consistently yet? No.
No, not consistently. Not over his tenure. I'm also interested in Dalton Kincaid. I know he's like a bigger name, and he's a tight end. So, you know, people don't really like to pull tight ends their rookie year. But I think he might be able to do some stuff there in Baltimore or Buffalo with Josh Allen.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I agree. I had him on my list. And, you know, speaking of tight ends, Luke Shoemaker. I mean, you know, Dallas loves their tight ends, going back to Jason Witten, and someone's got to replace Dalton Schultz. So.
He kind of looks like Jason Witten a little bit.
He does.
That wasn't racist, was it? Just a big white dude?
I mean, maybe. We're white, so this is fine.
Okay. All right, anyone else on the radar?
I think... you know, as far as my big hitters, I think we covered just about everyone. There's a couple people that might surprise us, you know, just like every year. Mm-hmm. But I think some of these, you know, and especially when we get into quarterbacks, you know, I think Bryce Young has a lot of potential. CJ Stroud, obviously, he might do well. They don't have a lot of pieces around him yet. Anthony Richardson doesn't, in my opinion, doesn't stand much of a chance this year in Indy. Just because of his surrounding, I mean, the offensive line was bad last year. They might not have Jonathan Taylor. They just don't have a lot of pieces.
He's got a few decent weapons there. I was actually going to bring him up as someone that I was going to keep my eye on. I do feel like he has an uphill battle with the coaching and everything going on, you know, front of the house. But and especially if Jonathan Taylor doesn't sign on and you know, lend some security in the running back area. But I feel like he kind of has what it takes to get some things going, and hopefully things pan out. He can actually make some moves within the next 3 to 4 years. I wouldn't necessarily say he's going to blow up this year or even next year, but he has a chance. Especially, I mean, they have a decent wide receiving core. There are some young guys there that that can get it done. So,
yeah, I think any of the wide receivers, the way that the league is shifting now, I think any of them are valuable. And any of them are potential. We're a dynasty league, so it's a little bit more diluted with other, with veterans. So obviously, a league like ours, we wouldn't see them. Well, I mean, I guess we would see them because our early picks are going to be rookies here next year. So yeah, we'll. I mean, that's the way it is. Quentin Johnston. I mean,
it's going to be all but a rookie draft next year once we actually get into the nitty gritty. So once this season ends, I'm going to move us all to instead of moving to a dynasty, which will change some things that we can't really control. Mm-hmm. What we'll do is we'll move to a keeper team, a keeper league with 32 keepers. So it's a dynasty, but it allows me to be a little more flexible as a GM, or if you will, to actually make the rules work and trading and things like that work off season properly.
Leave it to the commish to find ways around all the ins and outs of the rule book, rewriting things, making.
Yeah, he is good at bending the rules to his favor. I will say that.
Oh, okay.
All right,
MJ, we got some breaking news just coming into the newsroom moments ago.
Sources tell me that the New York Jets are trading for Jaguars running back James Robinson.
DJ Moore, a top receiver who, of course, has already been paid to Chicago, adds a massive, massive draft haul and a top receiver.
Aaron Rodgers officially is being traded to the New York Jets.
Same faces, different places.
All right, same faces, different places. Real simple. It's just off-season trades, free agent moves, guys moving from one team to another. We heard the last one right there, Aaron Rodgers, obviously the big one in the off-season. A lot of veteran quarterbacks moving around, including Rodgers, Garoppolo, David Carr, to name a few. Also,
sorry, who was that?
Garoppolo.
Was that David Carr?
David Carr. Jimmy.
David Carr?
Derek Carr. Man, how long has it been since he's been?
Is it 2002?
I know.
Is Houston an expansion team?
Dude, he was in the NFL so long ago that he was on the cover of NCAA in like 2000. So, Jesus. Yeah.
Sorry, I didn't mean to.
That's okay. That's okay. But yeah, a lot of veteran moves, mainly those three quarterbacks I mentioned. Also, DeAndre Hopkins going from Arizona to Tennessee. DJ Moore, you heard him in there also, traded to Chicago for a plethora of picks. Brandon Cooks, can he rebound his season from Houston? He's going over to Dallas. Juju Smith-Schuster, one a lot of people forgot about, goes from Kansas City over to New Orleans. OBJ, Thielen, Adam Lazard, Rashad Penny, Devin Singletary, lots of guys, lots of veterans moving around this year. How is this going to affect our league? Do you think that these guys with their new homes, do you think that that favors the team owners that have them on their roster? Does it, is it going to affect them? Anyone on this list, by the way?
I do not personally.
I have OBJ, and I held on to him for a big portion of last year, waiting to see if he would come back. So we're gonna see with OBJ.
Well, before we do anything else, let's talk about this, Jay. Is he going to be a keeper?
Yes, as of right now, he is. I looked through my team, and with six keepers, he fell in line.
Gotcha.
Now, if Jonathan Taylor comes back and says he is for sure playing, he's going to be on the hot seat. Right now, I have Jonathan Taylor and Cam Akers on kind of the hot seat. Who's going to be left out? Who's going to be kept? Now, if Jonathan Taylor comes back, obviously I'm keeping Jonathan Taylor. And at that point, it's going to be between Cam Akers and OBJ.
OBJ, gosh. No, that's fair. I just wanted to know where you stood on that. Mm-hmm. So, Tim, let's just break down the top four that you just mentioned. Okay. Let's start with A-Rodge. Let's start with Hopkins. Who were the two after that you mentioned?
Hopkins, DJ Moore. He got traded to Chicago. Brandon Cooks, Smith-Schuster. They're all pretty... They all could impact their teams, I think.
They could.
I think DJ Moore is going.
I'm worried about because of the injuries coming back. He's coming back from an injury last year that he dealt with that kind of kept him off the field a little bit with Kansas City.
True, true. And, he's going to a place in New England who, they've had a lot of question marks at quarterback ever since Tom Brady left. Cam Newton came in. That was a failure. Mac Jones. He looked promising, but then we kind of saw what he was made of towards the end of the season last year a little bit. So,
yeah, it's been a lot of peaks and valleys with him. Mm-hmm. You have those like high games, low games. And then there was like a lull there for quite a while. And then he was splitting time with that other gentleman that came in after he was injured.
I can't remember his name. Hold on. I'll look it up.
I can't remember his name either, but he was popular at the time whenever he did come in. So. I don't know. My personal opinion, I'm going to stay away from New England wide receivers and New England in general, just because they're going to do what they need to win. And that doesn't always equate well to fantasy. So you get a lot of possession wide receivers there. You get a lot of running backs that do a lot of the work between the 20, between the 20 yard lines, but then don't get a lot of touchdown or red zone touches. So I try to steer clear of that. So I'm not a huge fan of Schuster this year.
Bailey Zappe.
Yeah, New England.
Sorry.
Yeah, Zappe. That's what it was. Yeah, New England players are tough. Stevenson might have a hell of a game one week. And then the next week, for some reason, Pierre Strong Jr. is going to come out and be the top running back in the next game for no apparent reason. They just spread the ball around too much. And I think that's part of why they win so much, because you don't know who to prepare for, but that's the risk with fantasy as well.
Exactly. Too many unknown variables that I would rather not leverage against. Mm-hmm.
Miles Sanders adds a lot of promise to the to Carolina. Carolina, I think.
Yeah. And you know what I think has going for, Carolina as a whole is the NFC South is just a weak division right now. Sure. We don't know what's going to happen with the Saints. Mm-hmm. The Buccaneers, they're back to the basement Buccaneers without Tom Brady. Mm-hmm.
Yep.
And the Falcons, they haven't shown anything yet. The whole division right there is up for grabs. And Carolina it's up for the grabbing.
Well, I think New Orleans also has a chance to come in and challenge the division. I think Derek Carr coming in, he adds a little bit more stability to the quarterback position. And if you notice last year, I did because I have Kamara on my team. He really struggled because they didn't have a passing threat like they did with Drew Brees all those years. And you look at his numbers since Drew Brees left, and they've just not been the same. So I think that he's going to bring a lot of promise to that team. But there's a lot of question marks throughout the rest of it, of course. But yeah.
And will Mike Thomas, will he come back? Is he still Mike Thomas that we know?
Mm-hmm. I think with all the injuries, the leg injuries, he won't be the same, but I'm not going to count him out. When was the last time he played? He didn't play at all last year. I don't think if he did, it was preseason.
Yeah. He played very limited last year. Yeah, and the year before that, he was still struggling with the injury. So he didn't do much that previous year either. Now, my biggest question regarding Aaron Rodgers.
Mm-hmm. There we go. This is where I was waiting to get to.
Who will the Vince Filone Packers use as their quarterback? Who? He's probably sweating. He's probably
Vince. Hold on. Let's pull his team up right months. Now. Let's pull his team up right now. Let's look at it right now.
I already got it up.
Dude. All right. Let go through it, Shane. He still has Raj at quarterback. I saw that this morning. I saw he has Aaron Jones at his running back position. After that, I'm drawing a blank.
So he has Aaron Rodgers at his quarterback, Aaron Jones starting runner back, Christian McCaffrey starting running back. So three strong names mm-hmm. 3 years ago. One strong name right now. We have Mike Williams, a wide receiver, Christian Watson, who potentially could be a point bringer this year if things work out with Jordan Love. Tight end Austin Hooper, Latavius Murray was his flex, Eagles defense, and then Harrison Butker was his. So that's his starting lineup.
No, it's just, you know, does he keep Aaron Rodgers or does he move over to Dude Love? I guess we'll just wait and find out.
I'm actually more interested to see whether or not he keeps Aaron Jones.
I would be hard pressed to, if I had Aaron Jones on my team, to get rid of him, especially coming into this season. They're going to rely on him even more because they have no Aaron Rodgers. So in my opinion, Aaron Jones is a must keeper, especially with six keepers. The offense is going to run through Aaron Jones at this point.
Agreed. Yeah, until they get a nice base with Jordan Love, I don't see them straying too far away from running back. So that's why I'm kind of interested to see what he does there. Me knowing Vince the way I do, I have a feeling he's going to keep Aaron Rodgers no matter what team he goes to. So.
Yeah, and you know, just looking, I think he needs to break up his lineup a little bit. You know, obviously Aaron Rodgers going over helps alleviate some of the Packers on his team, but mm-hmm. even without that, he still has two Packers, and then he's going to have two guys from San Francisco. You know, they're just point clashing. You got Christian McCaffrey and Debo Samuel. Now they're both solid players, but they're going to steal points from each other.
Potentially, very much so. Yeah.
By the way, if you want to get in contact with the podcast, you can email us primeleaguepodcast@gmail.com. That's a real thing, guys. PrimeLeaguePodcast@gmail.com. You can also call us. We do have a live stream going up. I will post the link with the with episode one whenever we make it live. But I'll post the link with that so you can listen live to the show. We'll record it usually Thursday nights right around 7:30 or give or take a little bit. Episode one will be available to download. All across your podcast platforms, Spotify, Apple Podcasts, iHeartRadio, SoundCloud, wherever you get your podcast from, you can find the Prime League Podcast. And again, I mentioned we do it live Thursday night or Wednesday nights at 7:30. You can also call the podcast. I got my phone hooked up to the board. So 740-346-5607. So if you want to get in touch with the show, ask us some questions. Give us
trash the commish. Call in and trash the commish.
You can give us some critiques. Let us know what you think of the podcast, what we can improve on, all that stuff. So, primeleaguepodcast@gmail.com if you want to call us 740-346-5607. All right. Any other guys, any of these free agents, what do you think Jimmy Garoppolo does when he comes to Las Vegas? Do you think he helps out?
You know, I've never been a huge fan of Jimmy G. Is he a solid quarterback? Yes. Is he worth a start every week in your fantasy league? I don't think so, especially coming into a new team. He's injury prone. He's inconsistent. I think, you know, he's going to, I see Vegas being right around the same par that they were as you like to say, David Carr, you know, just me.
I wish you saw the show, Doc.
Yeah. but yeah, Jimmy G, I think he's just an average quarterback and I don't see him adding much to the team. At best, I think, you know, he does as well as Derek Carr did. You know, they have Devontae Adams, who's the running back, and right now he's even holding out. So we don't even know. He's fighting over a contract, another running back fighting over a contract. So will he be a part of the team? It's hard to say. And I just don't. Yeah. Now, one person I am really excited about with the new team is DeAndre Hopkins.
Mm-hmm. There we go. Let's talk about that. Come back to that though, Tim.
Okay. Are you coming to me? Is that what you said?
So I want to come back to the Jimmy G talk.
No. Oh. Take it away before we move over to Hopkins. Here, take it away.
No, I was just gonna say I feel like I don't have a whole lot of faith in Jimmy G, but at the same time, I don't know that he's ever gotten the. I feel like. What's his name? Lance from the 49ers.
Trey Lance.
I feel like he's going to get the same rap that Jimmy G got, which is never to actually get a full chance while he's young and spry.
I'm calling you know for I mean? Daddy.
Hold on, guys.
I've been calling you all day, man.
We got it's someone calling your boy, Humpy.
Oh, caller number one.
Prime League Podcast. Who's on the phone? Hello? Hello? I think they got the wrong number. Can you hear me? Oh, wait. Hello?
When you guys going to trash the commish?
oh, don't you worry. That's a good question. You know, we're always up for trashing the commish. So, you know, I'll just throw it out there right now that, you know, our commish, he likes to pride himself that he won this championship and won that championship, but... You know, really, it's all just a hoax. He's back there working the numbers, and I haven't figured out how he's doing it yet, but he's real untrustworthy.
I just got to say that since he's the commission, he has the most plaques on that trophy. There's something fishy going on here, and I'm calling for a recount.
Real fishy. Caller number one, give us your trash.
Hello? All right. Well, that's all right. Well, we got our first caller.
Well, it sounds like the commish is satisfied in his previous decisions.
All right. One request to trash the commish. All right. Now, Jimmy G to Las Vegas. Sorry, Shane.
I was just saying, I don't think that he's been given a full chance in any team to settle in. It's always been a coaching change or he's had half a season and they brought in a rookie something. So I'm not ready to write him off yet, but I mean, I'm not ready also to, you know, put all my stakes in him either. I want to see what happens this year. This will be the determining factor moving forward for me, at least with Jimmy G.
I think I've seen enough. He's just a pretty face. And he's got nothing to back it up.
He dates porn stars, Jay. That's exactly that gets him something, though, right?
I it does.
moving on to the Titans, though.
Yeah. DeAndre Hopkins, I got him on my team, so this one I'll keep under a microscope. But I mean,
so
I don't think
him on your team?
Yeah, I don't think I could pass up keeping him. Or not keeping him. I think I have to at this point, especially with my running back situation the way it is. But yeah, I mean, they're not sure at quarterback. They've never really been a passing team. Tannehill is in there. And then who did they picked up? Oh my God. Who is
Will Levis? Will Levis this year and Malik Willis last year. Now Malik looked rough last year.
Right. So,
but, well, I mean, he was a rookie. So, you know,
he was also, he was a rookie. He was also thrown in on the spot. And also, they are a running team. And so they were like, you could tell whenever he was in there, at least his first few games, they were like, listen, we just want you to hand the ball off here, hand the ball off there, and make one pass here if you need to. So I don't know if we've ever actually seen him turn loose or comfortable in the system, but he could be garbage. He could be great. He's a complete unknown to me.
At their depth chart right now, they got Tannehill as the starter, so they do have a veteran in there. That does give me a little bit of hope with Hopkins coming in, his veteran status. I think he's around 30, right around 30 years old, so he's getting ready to head back towards the back half of his prime, or the back
end of his prime. You got to remember, they also drafted Traylon Burks last year.
Yep.
Yeah, and I mean, even Westbrook Akine, you know, he's solid. Mm-hmm. Now, that's the only worry about the Titans that I have is underneath Derrick Henry and DeAndre Hopkins, a lot of unknowns, a lot of unprovens.
Yeah.
Agreed. Yeah. They have a solid defense and they have a great coaching staff. So that gives me a little bit of hope for them. So,
yeah.
What does Brandon Cooks, what does he bring to Dallas? They had Amari Cooper for those years. He's gone. He's in Cleveland now. Is he going to be a nice addition to, what's his name? Quarterback. Why can't I think of his name? Prescott. Is he going to be a nice addition to his repertoire?
You know, it's I'm real on the line with Brandon Cooks. Mm-hmm. The Brandon Cooks from 5-6 years ago, epic. The Brandon Cooks we've seen since then, not so great. I don't think he's got it in him anymore. Mm-hmm. You know, maybe now that he's not the number one guy, he's going to have CD Lamb taking over the role as the number one, and he can kind of just play the slot. Maybe he can get back to that, but he's not high on my list.
I'm
out. I think I'm out on.
Sound like this point. Sound like Jimmy right there. I'm just out. I'm done.
I'm sorry. I can't. I had Cooks on a few teams over the years. I had a lot of hopes for him. He was fire at first. He's dealt with a lot of injuries. It's obviously nothing personal against the man, but I don't see how him moving to Dallas with CeeDee Lamb and their whole offense is a mess to me right now. I know that all the offseason chatter with Dallas has been they want to pass more. To me, it's just too many questionables, too many it's just too much variables for me to want to put any stock in anybody on that team at this point.
I agree. I think this is the year we find out if he's got anything left. This is his best opportunity. But you know, going back to the rookie, I'm Shunin over Shoemaker, basically.
All right, I think I know who Jay's taking his first available pick.
Yeah, you think?
I'm going to be watching him. If he takes off, you're gonna see me and hear me Shunin over Shoemaker.
Gosh, I hope I don't hear it from down here. That's all I got to say. God.
Alan Lazard also leaving Green Bay. He went with Aaron Rodgers over to the Jets. The Jets got they had a nice team coming in. The only question mark was their quarterback, and obviously Aaron Rodgers, a big answer to that. Breece Hall, of course, he's out for X amount of time. Garrett Wilson, he came in, had a great year last year. McCole Hardman Jr., very disappointing career so far. Also Randall Cobb on that and that receiving core, Alan Lazard and Corey Davis. Alan Lazard, is he just bringing some security to Aaron Rodgers? You think that he is going to be a production guy? You think that's Garrett Wilson's job?
I'm sorry. At what point are we going to start referring to Aaron Rodgers as the Adam Sandler of NFL players? Okay.
Everywhere he goes. Okay. The Rodgers family. I got you. Okay.
Everywhere he goes, he brings his favorite people with him, and then he basically strong arms the team into signing those players.
LeBron. I agree. I don't think we see Aaron Rodgers
be Aaron Rodgers this year. It's too much. And I think his ego at this point has gotten the best of him. Great quarterback, Hall of Fame quarterback, but I think he's on he's on his downfall. And honestly, Lazard, I don't think he brings anything to the table. I don't think he brought anything to the table in Green Bay.
Thank you.
There's nothing special about him. And Randall Cobb, he's just too old at this point.
He's 85 years old. He's been with more teams. He's actually been with 101 recorded teams.
That's a fact. Fact check it.
Anyone else you want to touch on? Same faces, different places, moves from one team to another.
Yeah, I think the one I'm going to be watching the most closely is Juju Smith-Schuster. Now, I know we talked about New England players, you know, but this isn't the same New England team we saw before. And Juju now has a chance to be possibly a true number one. He didn't have that chance really in Pittsburgh. Definitely didn't have that chance in KC. Is the talent there? I think so. Can Bill Belichick get the talent out of him? I also think so. That's going to be one person I keep my eye on this year.
And what's interesting about this is Juju Smith-Schuster's attitude and his, or I'm not his attitude, but his approach to the preparation. And we all know how Bill Belichick is with it when it comes to your preparation. It's two completely different styles. How will that work? It works through the off-season workouts. Once they get on the field and Juju busts out TikTok on the 50-yard line, what's Bill Belichick going to do?
That is true.
Now, if Bill Belichick busts out and starts doing what's it called? Oh, my God. The Bengals receivers dance. Oh, my God.
Oh, Chad Ochocinco.
The Dougie? Is that what it? No, not the Dougie.
Dougie? Doing the Dougie?
All right, let's just say he does the Dougie. And we'll know that Juju Smith-Schuster is making an impact in a positive way.
Listen, if anyone can get
let me just any say, I hate player that fucking shape, trophy behind you, Shane. God damn it. God damn it. I said, I hate that damn trophy behind you.
Why?
Because I've never held it. That's why.
No, you should hate it because you probably never will.
Oh. Wow. Okay.
All right, Tim.
Okay, here we go.
Early dreamer.
Go ahead, Tim.
Way quicker of a sweeper right there. That's
early dreamer.
All right, early dreamer. Who's the preseason sleepers in our league? Who's the guy no one's talking about? They're going to make a splash. I've got two guys on my list, but I'm going to hand it off to you guys first. Anyone care to step up and tell us who's going to be the splash this year, whether it's a huge home run hitter or someone who's going to be someone's going to make an impact on a week to week basis for somebody.
Go ahead. Yeah, you can take it.
All right. Yes, I'll take it off. I really like James Cook out of Buffalo. Buffalo, you know, they're losing their running back from last year. And I think after some of the playoff failures, they know they got to take some of the heat off of Josh Allen. They can't be thrown 60 times a game at minimum. I think James Cook comes in and helps take that load off. So I really see James Cook doing something well. Now, my second one is, I know it's a homer, but I'm going Kenny Pickett. I really think with the offseason moves that the Steelers did this year are really going to help him out. Revamping the entire offensive line, adding Darnell Washington, you know, who's that receiver they brought in? Give me one second. Allen Robinson. You know, a third piece to the puzzle there. Now you got Deontay Johnson, George Pickens, Allen Robinson, Pat Freiermuth, Najee Harris, Jalen Warren, and Anthony McFarland coming in as extra running backs. I think if they can piece this offense together, he is a sleeper. They have a lot of weapons on offense, a lot. And I think maybe if Matt Canada can, you know, get his head out of his ass and call some good plays, Kenny Pickett can have a very strong year here.
I just saw that George Pickens or Deontay Johnson dubbed him and George Pickens as Gin and Juice. Did you guys see that? And
I
love it.
I did see that.
That's blasphemous. That's hashtag blasphemous.
Starting with Kenny Pickett, I think the Steelers move with Kenny Pickett. I think their offense is, yes, it's built around the running game, and they have revamped their line this year from last year, which was towards the bottom, I think bottom 25 in the league their rushing game was. So they could only really go up at that point. They did a lot to improve their line. So that's going to help out the running game, which I think in turn will help out the passing game. But my concern is I don't think Kenny Pickett's ceiling is that high. I think that his, I think if you watch him with a football, yeah, he's going to make a good football move, make a good football play. But can he stretch the field with a pass? They didn't let him do that last year. I just don't know. I just think that it depends. I mean, obviously, that's what we're talking about is Pickett, but I think it depends on his ceiling. I don't think his ceiling is that high. So can the running game help him out? That's what I think is the running.
Here's where I think Kenny Pickett gets most of his points. I don't think it's going to be stretching the field. I think it's getting the ball in the hands of his playmakers within 5 to 10 yards. You know, Deontay Johnson, shifty. Calvin Austin III, one of the fastest players to come out of the draft last year, who did not play last year, is healthy. So, you know, get the ball in his hands. Let him run. George Pickens is a freak. All you got to do is throw him the ball. He's going to catch it. You know, you throw it in his vicinity, he's got a pretty good chance of catching it. Then Najee Harris, you know, the Kool-Aid man with thick thighs, just busting through brick walls. You know, he's hard to tackle. I think that's where he gets a lot of his points, is if they can get this short game going. Not to say that Kenny Pickett's going to be a superstar, but if he can get some 5 to 10 yard passes and let Deontay and Calvin Austin and George Pickens and Najee do the work from there, get that yak going, yak, 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 and you know, get them points up for him.
I wish I had a boo button on here. That's the best I can do right now. Shane, so you want to go? You want me to?
What was your pick, Jay? That was long-winded, bro.
Kenny Pickett.
Okay, Kamish. I know you don't like giving
I'm
up
just
the.
Messing with you. I'm just messing with you.
You don't like giving up the spotlight. I'm
don't
sorry.
Don't lay into me. I'm just kidding.
Hold on. Anyone got a bright light to shine off of your head?
Look how bright the light is on back my in head the spotlight. Right now. Hold on.
Tim's invisible right now. Jesus.
Hold on.
Jay, I don't know if you just saw that, but he lit up like a white back wall.
He's like out there suntanning.
That was intense. Oh, man.
That's still
right. That's a good one. I could definitely see that happening.
Yeah, but I got James Cook and Kenny Pickett as two potential sleepers. You know, I tried to dig a little deeper, you know, with Kenny Pickett. There's a lot of sleepers you can find online.
And they're right on the cusp. They're easy pickings.
Yeah. But I think Kenny Pickett is a potential true sleeper. No one's really thinking that he can be your starter on your fantasy team.
No, and I think he's a little more long-term too, because I feel like if he's going to actually pan out, not just in the NFL, but on a fantasy level, it's going to be a little more long-term than something
yeah.
we needed, you know?
Shane, do you want to throw your early dreamers out there?
No. Early dreamer.
Yes, sir. I'll go ahead and do that. early dreamer.
Early dreamer.
Running back, wide receiver. Would you just did running back and quarterback, right, Jay?
Yeah.
Okay, I'm going to do running back, wide receiver. this first one, it depends. almost entirely on two things, the performance of the player and whether or not Alvin Kamara's suspension is increased. So I'm taking Kendre Miller, running back in the Saints. If he blows up the first couple weeks while Alvin is suspended, and if that suspension gets elongated, then it could go even further. He may end up being a top, 24, top 12 running back at the end of the year. So it just depends on how that shakes out. But if he has a chance, he has three games to prove himself, mm-hmm. Before at the earliest before Alvin comes back. So we'll see what can happen there. And then my next one will be John Mechie, wide receiver for the Texans. Didn't get to play last year. He was battling cancer, but he was able to overcome that. And he's looking to break in actually as his true rookie wide receiver year this year with the Texans. So hopefully he can get some stuff done.
I agree, especially with Miller in New Orleans. He's got 3 weeks to prove himself, and Alvin's going to be looking for more money, which we know the NFL is not wanting to pay running backs money at this point. So if he shows out those first 3 weeks, maybe the Saints are just okay with letting Kamara move on after the season or trading him. I think I like that pick.
Yeah, he's got a true showcase right there at the front of the season, where a lot of rookie running backs that get brought in with a veteran above them don't usually have that. They're splitting time, or they're sharing the load. But he has a couple weeks there, just all on him. So hopefully he can do something with it.
True question is, if he's not on somebody's fantasy roster right now, what is Wayne going to do to acquire Jamal Williams?
He's going to dig deep.
He was after me with Kamara last year. He's like, yo, man.
Yeah, that's another Vince situation right there. They're true homers, dude.
He's like, yo, man. You know, Kamara might be going to jail, man. State prison.
What could I not give you for this trade?
And you know what? I should have accepted it because he did submit a trade request to me. I don't remember who was on it, but I remember they both kicked ass. And Kamara had a subpar year last year.
He offered me a trade last year. Kadarius Toney on my team for George Pickens on his team.
I think
team.
That was him. I think that was it might have been Pickens, I think is who it was.
George Pickens, yeah, that's who he offered me. And I took it. And neither one of them did anything for the rest of the year, so it didn't matter either way. But it would have mattered had I want to keep George Pickens this year. Which I do not. I think we should split off into that here for half a minute and talk about who we're going to keep for each one.
Yeah, why? Yeah, don't let Tim go, Shane. the commish wants to change topics, so let's switch it up.
Yeah, yeah. Should I get one mallet per episode? Do you think?
You can just use your head.
I wish if you had a soundboard in front of you, it'd be perfect. You could just hit it and you just interrupt us and.
Exactly.
Say whatever you want to say.
we need to get some visuals to come in, and the commish from the Miller Lite commercials just takes over the screen. the mallet drops.
Well, this will actually be a perfect segue into our next topic, right?
Yeah, we'll get there, Shane. I got to go first, though.
Oh, my apologies. Sorry.
I think my early dreamer.
Early dreamer.
Is Jackson Smith and Jigba. He's going to go to a team where Geno Smith is going to have to prove if last year was a fluke, as we were talking about earlier. I don't think it was. I think he had, I think what is a maturing season, went to a different team. He came into the league. It's not funny, but Jay and I kind of made fun of him throughout the whole process of being a first round prospect, dropping into the second round, firing his agent, and then going and just being, he was inconsistent with the Jets. Remember, he would be on fire, then he'd suck, then he'd be on fire, then he'd suck. I think it was every other week his rookie year was on fire, sucked. So,
Got punched in the face.
Yeah. And then I think he got cut after he got punched in the face. Got punched in the face, broken jaw, and they cut his ass. Or maybe it was the linebacker they cut. I can't remember. But it's funnier to say that he got cut after he got knocked out. But, I think he's found a home. Pete Carroll, obviously a very good coach. They got a good supporting system. Kenneth Walker III coming back again. And that wide receiver core, that wide receiver room that he's going to get to learn in with Metcalf and with Lockett, it's top notch right there. And he's going to make them an elite pass. They have potential, I should say, to be an elite passing team.
I agree. Definitely agree.
Yeah, I'm not going to debate you on that. That was a solid information there.
Another guy. Sorry, go ahead, Shane.
No, you're good. No, I'm just saying I agree with you on all those points.
Another guy I think will make a splash, not throughout the year, but I think in situations, is going to be Darnell Washington for Pittsburgh. He's not even the starting tight end on the team right now. But you know how as we get into the season, you start having to reach for players. I think that he has the potential to find his way onto a roster in a pivotal position of the season, whether it's in the end of the regular season and we're fighting for a playoff spot, or in the postseason when we're trying to make a run. He may find his way into a lineup where he, you know, may not even be the starter. He's the second option, but he's 6'7". He's a tank, and I think he has great potential to be a threat in the red zone, especially with Kenny Pickett, who, hasn't proven that he could stretch the field yet.
I'm with you. Early dreamer.
Stop it. Speaking of reach, our arms are going to get a lot longer and a lot thinner come next year when it's full dynasty. So everybody needs to start thinking about that right now.
Well, that's how I think all of us, or at least a lot of us, I don't want to say all of us with Bryce in the league, but most of us, we plan for that. When we get into the playoffs, I don't know about you, but I'm thinking next week also, I'm thinking if I get eliminated this week, do I want this guy on my roster going into the off season so I have the potential to be able to keep him if I need to?
Exactly. Yeah. I mean, 4 out of my 6 keepers are all young guys. You know, I try not to keep anyone too old. Mm-hmm. Younger than me, I'd like to say.
Yeah, which is almost everybody at this point.
All right, Shane. As per your request, we shall move on.
When I go to war, you know damn well my goals are winning. Who got my back? I got your back.
The food chain.
Okay, the food chain. We're each going to come up with our 5 top 5 teams in the Papua New Guinea Prime League. After winning it all last year, will the Sanford Wattle Rockets be able to crack the top 5 on our list? We shall find out. Let's start with the team owner and the commish of the Sanford Wattle Rockets. Shane, go ahead and pull up your power rankings. Let's go ahead and boo those real quick. Go ahead, Shane.
What's wrong with you, man? So negative.
Commish.
Well, first, let's review. I'll review my team.
Okay.
I'm going to let you know who I'm keeping and why. I'm keeping, obviously, Patrick Mahomes. Don't need to explain why. But going to keep him. I'm going to keep Saquon. I'm also going to keep James Conner, which is questionable, but I'm thinking of him as – because you got to break it down by the rounds that we're going to take each player, right? You know what I mean? We're taking 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6. Mm-hmm. So I'm thinking of him as like a 5 or 6 round draft pick.
And you need the running backs. I mean, it's a running back tight league.
Yeah,
and he's been fairly consistent over the years. He had some injury issues early on, but he's been consistent since then. And if you look at his stats over the last year, he was extremely involved with the team last year of the entire year. So, and I should have started him in a lot of games where I didn't, and I'm still kicking myself about it. So I'm going to keep him. I'm looking at A.J. Brown for wide receiver. I'm going to keep Jalen Waddle, who we didn't talk about, but left practice today with an injury to his midsection, ? Not sure what that means, but that's the information that I was fed. And then my final keeper is going to be James Cook, who I, along with Jason, agree is going to be a potential sleeper, not just this year coming up, but maybe years to come. So looking for those young running backs in their first couple years.
Shane, you didn't give your top five fantasy teams in the league.
No, I'm going to. I didn't know if you had any feedback.
Okay, I'm sorry. I thought you misunderstood the assignment and you were picking the top five on your team. Okay, hold on. Let me pull it up. Let me pull it up and look at your team real quick so I can.
I mean, you're good if you don't.
Okay.
No.
I know. I'm sorry. Hold on. It's not loading. There we go. Okay. Yeah, Mahomes. Obviously. I don't know. I've been telling you for years you should trade him, but I mean that's on you. Yeah, I mean, I don't know. I think your keepers, I think that you got some choices to make. I think you got a lot of depth, which could help you. It's great to have depth. It's great to have options like that. But whenever it comes to your keepers, do you keep the right guy? It's one thing starting the wrong guy week in and week out. It's another to keep the wrong guy.
I agree. Yeah, depth is good. It's also a double-edged sword.
Yeah,
it can be a pain in the behind at the end of the year. I really, really want to keep Michael Pittman Jr., and I'm not going to. I also would really like to keep George Pickens, and I'm not going to. So, you know, you got to make those decisions like you're talking about. I would really like to keep John Mechie, who I was talking about as a sleeper, but I'm not going to keep him as well. So I agree with you there. Jay, you got anything to say, or you want me to just move to my top five?
No, I think, you know, like Tim said, I agree with most of your keepers. It's a lot of tough choices, but we all have tough choices to make. But, you know, I think all we can do is our best and go from there.
Yeah, I've been saying all year, if I could just keep my whole team, I would be a happy guy. But it's not till next year, so. Hopefully, I'll still be happy at this point next year.
I'm sure if there's a way to keep your whole team this year, you'll find it.
You're a real piece of work, man.
This is a pivotal year, though, to say the least.
Jerk off. I'm going to give you my top three, but I'm not going to give them to you in any particular order. So, not one, two, or three.
Okay.
These are just my top three teams that I feel like. According to their rosters, what I've looked at and who they could potentially keep, have the shot at having the best keepers for this year. Number one's going to be Let It Rain. That's Mike Will Gruber, or Mike Will Grubbins, as I like to call him.
Mike will rub you.
Whoa.
He will, too. You got to watch yourself. Whoa. He'll do it without permission.
Don't we all?
But he's got Jalen Hurts, Travis Etienne, Brian Robinson, who a lot of people have, he's like gone under the radar this year, but you got to remember he got shot in the leg before last season. So he didn't have, you know, he's kind of like in the J.K. Dobbins area. It's like he was playing last year with one leg. He's setting off alarms this year in preseason. He's got Devontae Adams and Devontae Smith at wide receiver that he could potentially keep. So those are big names. And then on top of those two, Stephon Diggs is just sitting there in his flex, which is pretty intense. DJ Moore that we were talking about earlier. And then he has AJ Dillon. Not a whole lot of running back action. He's got Chuba Hubbard, Jeff Wilson. But I think that overall, especially if he's going to go wide receiver with like a star running back heavy, I think he'll be top three as far as keepers go. I will put myself in there.
Naturally.
Of course, not because I'm self-centered, but because I feel like my...
Not just because you're self-centered.
I feel like, as we went over my team previously, it's pretty strong. All right, it's got some youth, it's got some veterans, it's got some consistency. We're all right there. As long as I get struck with too many bad occurrences this year, we'll be okay. And then third, last but not least, and I wouldn't say third, I would say in the top three.
Who you got, Shane? Quit leaving us hanging. Tell us who you got. Tell us.
This is going to be highly controversial, and I'm not even 100% set on it or happy with it. Okay.
Okay.
But this is who I've picked. It's Tim. It's Team Sestito.
Okay.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
He's got Trevor Lawrence, young, strong quarterback, could carry him for a while. Devin Singletary, who did get switched to Houston but has been putting up numbers over the last few years. We're not sure what's going to happen. We already talked about Jamal Williams, who's a touchdown hog, right? Tyler Lockett, and that's his first four players that he has options to keep.
Yep.
Alec Pierce, who we also talked about earlier with Richardson, young wide receiver in Indianapolis who could blow up. Travis Kelce, who he's had since he got into the league, basically. Same thing with me and Patrick Mahomes, who is a killer at tight end. And it makes so much of a difference that if you keep Travis Kelce at tight end, it doesn't actually hurt you as a team. So he's got a young Jerry Jeudy, Ravens defense, Lamar Jackson at backup, Kareem Hunt on the bench. I mean, he's got a lot of options to pull from here. So I just feel like, and Javonte Williams, who he has on injured reserve still because he hasn't done anything in the offseason, but potentially he can move up and keep him as well. So I think he has a lot. He has so many options that are all either average or above average.
I can't argue with your list. I think it's – sorry, Jay. I think it's a solid list, especially Jimmy. I didn't really look too much into his roster, but you're right. He does have a lot of options there, especially with Kelce. He's – I mean, you kind of underestimate the impact the tight end position has had, at least in our fantasy league with the PPR system.
Yep, definitely.
Yeah, yeah. I'd look at Jimmy's team as kind of a sleeper of our league. A lot of his players are on the line. They definitely have the potential to, you know, tear the numbers up, but they're a little wishy-washy. They're right on the line. But I definitely can't see the potential there with his team.
Jay, you want to go ahead and give yours?
Yeah, sure. All right. So, number again, in no particular order, you know, we're definitely going the member berries. You know, how can you front them? I mean, look at their team. Joe Burrow, Najee Harris, DK Metcalf. You can't go wrong there. The second team I'm looking at is Rosebud Rides Again. You know, look at them. They got Jonathan Taylor there. You know, Odell Beckham Jr.,
Jason.
Cooper Kupp. And third team is the Button Hawks. You know, they got Tyler Bass as their kicker. The San Francisco 49ers as their defense. You know, Robert Woods is in there. He could have a good year.
Tim's face.
Oh, my God.
No, all right, but in all honesty,
the Button Hawks.
Forgot about them.
All right, yeah, but so let's get into some real nitty gritty now that I got that out of my system. You know, as far as my keepers go, right now I'm looking at Joe Burrow, Najee Harris, DK Metcalf. I have Jonathan Taylor right now, but as we discussed earlier, that could change. And then I have Odell and Cooper Kupp. You know, Cooper Kupp still scares me a little bit, but he's coming off an injury. He's hurt again right now, but you know, he's unstoppable when he's on the field. So, and another one that I'm kind of on the fence about is Dalton Schultz, you know, moving over to Houston. I think he's going to be a security blanket for CJ Stroud. So I think he could have a potentially good year, but it's going to be hard for me to keep a tight end. You know, obviously with Travis Kelce, with Jimmy, you have to keep him. Dalton Schultz is kind of on the edge for me. So I haven't made up my mind, but I think I have some solid keepers, you know, not just for this year, but for going forward. So let's take a look. One of the other teams that, you know, I think can potentially do well. Is that Remy now? Who is the Grateful Zeds?
That's Zach.
That's my brother. That's Zach.
Okay. I mean, he's got a scary looking team. You know, he's, just coming into the league, but you know, Josh Allen, he's going to be putting up close to 30 points every game. Mm-hmm. You can't deny that fact right there. Miles Sanders, you know, I think he's going to do a lot of damage in Carolina, like we talked earlier. I am a little worried about Antonio Gibson and Terry McLaurin. I don't like to have two of the same players on the same team unless it's a quarterback, running back, quarterback, wide receiver, quarterback, tight end, that kind of thing. That way you get double points. You're not having a potential to have some of your points taken away from you. So I think he's got a lot of good things going for him already. And, you know, the clam wallet scavenger, that's an interesting name choice. Remy, he had a good year last year. He was a dangerous team last year. Now I think he's got some work to do on his quarterback. You know, he's got Mike White in there right now. He doesn't have much else going for quarterback, but you know, again, Derrick Henry, he's going to be consistent. He's going to be plowing through people. Stevenson from New England had a great year. Mike Evans, even if Baker Mayfield's going to be out there, he's still Mike Evans. Baker Mayfield can sling the ball. So I think Mike Evans still has a good year if Baker plays, because Baker loves launching it, and Mike Evans loves just running and catching. And then, you know, here we are with Justin Jefferson, a beast again. Mm-hmm. And I know it's not a position we talk about a lot, but he's got Justin Tucker at kicker. Kicker can be somewhat inconsistent for everyone. Yeah. To have the best kicker in NFL history on your team, on your fantasy team, that he's not going to miss. He misses maybe once a year, mm-hmm, at most. So, I think he's got a lot of good things going for him too. So those are my teams to watch out for.
Yeah. But the thing with Tucker though, is he going to be a keeper? If any kicker is a keeper, it is Justin Tucker, but is he going to make it on that team? Now a team like Remy's doesn't have a quarterback that he's going to be keeping. You know, what other position? I still don't think you keep the kicker over a position player, a running back, like he has Joe Mixon on the bench right there. But I get what you're saying, Jay. I have him in my top five as well.
Yes. You know, to me, yeah, a kicker is a risky position to keep. But like you said, no quarterback that he's going to keep.
Yeah.
And with Justin Tucker, you know, he's never going to lose you points. Mm-hmm. That could be a big factor.
Guaranteed 10 to 15 points on your bench.
Yeah. And he's not going to lose any. He doesn't miss kicks. He's not going to, you know, kick a 40-yard field goal and knock you 2 points off your score because he missed it. He's going to hit it.
We lost Tim.
Tim is incognito mode right now.
It's a nice background, though. Look at your face.
That's because I'm disgusted by you.
He's back.
Out of beer.
And he's back.
Somehow didn't work.
All right, Tim, you take it away. I'm going to use the head real quick, as they like to say on the Navy boats. Gonna use the head.
All right. I went with six actually because I couldn't differentiate number five.
I know we said five, but I just came away with three.
That's cool. Yeah. 5.0 I'm going with. I have Let It Rain, Will Gruber, as Jay mentioned. I think he has a solid foundation, but the thing is not a ton of heavy hitters, the knockout punchers that you see with Patrick Mahomes, with a Saquon Barkley when he's healthy, with Tyreek Hill, things like that. Someone that you're going to rely on to, if you're down 40 points, you think you still got a chance. Jalen Hurts, obviously, you have that with him. Travis Etienne, we'll see. I think this is going to be a breakout year for him. But with his team, that's the thing that kind of concerns me. But he does have talent all the way through, top to bottom. He's got his hands full whenever it comes to his keepers coming up here this year. When are the keepers due, by the way?
Let me look at the date, but it's 5 days before the draft starts, just like it was last year. But let me give you the exact date. Give me 1 second.
Okay. While you're doing that, I'll move on to 5.1, and I'm going to put myself in there. If I'm going top six, I gotta got to get myself in there at some point. Now, the thing with my lineup, though, as we were talking about earlier, my running back situation, which I did not think coming into the offseason was going to be an issue. But here we are with Alvin Kamara suspended. Tyler Allgeier now playing second fiddle to Binya Robinson. also have Tony Pollard, who I thought was great that the Cowboys cut Zeke Elliott. That gives Pollard more carries. That makes him the feature back, even though I think that last year he was the feature back. This is solidifying that role now for him. But again, that's the running back position. Kamara suspended. Allgeier is now number two on the depth chart. I got Tony Pollard, who's going to be my top running back, at least for the short term, assuming he stays healthy. On the bench, I also got Zach Moss, who the hell is Zach Moss, and Cordell Patterson. But Rashad Penny, he's not going to be a keeper, I'll say that much. But if he were to end up on my roster as, you know, maybe a spot starter here and there, Philadelphia has a running back issue. He comes in, he's making the start. You know what I mean? Yeah, he'll be a player like that. So I'm putting myself in at 5.1. Number four, I believe both you guys.
Tim, can I just stop?
Yeah,
you
absolutely. Absolutely.
Add to some of that.
Mm-hmm.
So for Penny, I expect a lot out of him this year. I wouldn't keep him either. But if, just as you said, if he were to end up on my team or my roster somewhere down the line, wouldn't be upset about that at all.
Yeah.
Hopefully we can get a full year out of him. I know he's been injury prone, but hopefully we can get some, you know, I know he's got some competition there. They drafted some players and things like that, but I think he could actually be a big producer if he were to end up on your roster or mine. Yeah. You know what I mean?
Yeah, absolutely. My receiver situation, it's pretty solid. Tyreek Hill, DeAndre Hopkins, Chris Godwin, who is going to be, I think ESPN has him ranked a little bit higher than his worth this year. No Tom Brady. As Jay mentioned, Baker Mayfield likes to sling it around if he gets that starting position, but I still don't hold his stock very high. Josh Palmer, if you remember him.
Too much risk involved in Chris Godwin for me. Yeah. You know, I mean, on both ends, not just on his end, but also, as you said, the quarterback side. Yeah. In my opinion, I'd rather steer clear of him as far as keepers go.
Yeah. Josh Palmer got him on there also. He came in a big backup role last year, if you remember, for the Chargers and put up some points whenever he was needed, but then kind of fell off once they got healthy again. With their top two receivers, who their name's slipping me right now. Once we get into the season, I'll start remembering these. But yeah, I got myself at 5.1. At number four, I think both you guys had him on your list as well. I know Jay did, the Clam Wallet Scavengers. I mean, solid group of keepers right there. Can't go wrong with anyone except for that quarterback. Obviously, he won't be kept. But Derrick Henry, Stevenson, Evans, Jefferson, Dallas Goedert, Jerick McKinnon, Joe Mixon, solid core right there. And he has Kyler Murray sitting down there, which I don't think he will keep him because
I personally wouldn't.
Yeah, he got hurt late last year, and that's not something a player like him with his play style that you
and really he's just not good with. He's just not good.
He's not good, Jason. Okay, he's injury prone, mm-hmm. but when he's been on the field, if you look at the stats, he's a good quarterback.
I mean, honestly, at this point, I think he's just going to midget porn. I think he would be a lot more successful there. I mean, I'll just say that.
I do have to say though, the memes of him, with him being as tiny as he is, the memes like of when they show him on the field or something and he's like up to the ankle of the football player, I think they're absolutely fucking hilarious. That's just me.
I'm with you though, Tim. I think his team is legit. And it overlooked oftentimes, obviously, is the tight end position. He also has Dallas Goedert, who's just sitting out there, who just collected a giant paycheck. So
yeah.
Number three on my list is the Member Berries. Oh. Obviously, a good foundation with Joe Burrow. We'll see. He may be missing some time to start the season. Najee Harris, can he have a breakout year this year? A lot of hype with him coming out of Alabama, not really living up to expectations. Cam Akers, is he going to have, he had a decent year last year. Is he going to have a solid year this year? The Rams with a lot of question marks, obviously, get a lot of players back from their team that was injured a lot last year. DK Metcalf, Christian Kirk, two solid receivers. Dalton Schultz, he's going to be challenged by, what's his name, Jay?
CJ Stroud.
I'm looking at the wrong team.
Well, yeah. Oh.
I was thinking he was on Dallas.
He's already been replaced by the Shoon. So.
Yeah, the Shoon.
The Shoon. Classic.
JT on the bench, Jonathan Taylor. I mean, that's a very tough team. And you even got Evan Engram on the bench, which flash in a pan. Yeah, I get that. Probably not going to be a keeper, but big question to answer. OBJ. And we can't forget about Cooper Kupp, who's actually injured right now. He may be missing some time, too. So that's something else to consider.
It's a minor calf injury. He'll be good to go.
But he is getting older.
So are you.
Early dreamer.
That's what you get. All right. My top two, I'm with you, Jay. Grateful Zeds, I think, has the potential. Let me pull their team up real quick. But the Grateful Zeds, Eric's given up a solid team right here. And Shane, maybe you could break down the rules with this a little bit more. But you said he'll get to draft more than we will. He'll have his option to keep more play or keep less players, I'm sorry, than we have to.
Yeah, just as Wayne had the option last year, he had to keep two. And well, last year would have been five, so he could have drafted three. He could have kept up to five if he wanted to. Zach gets the same treatment, so he has to keep two, but he can draft up to four, or he can keep up to six.
Okay.
So I'm not sure what he's going to do yet. I haven't spoken to him about it yet. I know when we first spoke and I was introducing him to the league, he said he was going to be keeping Josh Allen.
Yeah,
and one of the wide receivers, one of the young wide receivers.
I'm on Ross St. Brown.
Or Garrett Wilson.
Man, I don't think you're going wrong with either.
He's
going
to get if he only keeps those two, he'll draft the next four rounds basically by himself.
Okay.
So he'll be doing basically a rookie draft or whoever's left after all the other keepers are set.
So he's going to wait.
In my opinion, you know, if I were to be handed this team and had that option, honestly, I'm probably keeping almost six.
Yeah, I'm keeping at least four, I would say.
He's got a solid team already.
Well, here's the thing, though, and I don't want to give him any draft advice, so maybe the fact that it's buried this deep into episode one, he won't find it. But if I'm Zach, I'm keeping the minimal amount of people that I can. And then I'm drafting my entire team that I want because he gets the picks by himself, right?
Yeah.
Yeah. So I'm
just
doing.
Just like Wayne did last year. So he'll get a couple rounds, however many he decides to not keep, he'll get those rounds by himself, basically.
Yeah. So yeah, Josh Allen, Antonio Gibson, Miles Sanders, Terry McLaurin, Amon-Ra St. Brown, TJ Hawkinson, Zay Jones. That's in his starting group. Michael Gallup, solid player right there. Hayden Hurst, good tight end. Garrett Wilson, I think, is going to have a great season this year. I don't think he's going to come on early. I think it's going to be around week four to week six that you'll see him start clicking. I feel like we should
treat this season as Garrett Wilson's rookie season. Like, I feel like he's going to build early and then start to pick up late.
Yeah. The more comfortable he gets with Aaron, I think, the better.
My mic's coming loose, guys. Keep going.
No, you're good. I think if Eric would have had a little more time on his hands, a little more initiative, he could have made some stuff happen last year.
Yeah, absolutely.
Also, a lot of these players are very young, so if he would have stuck with it, I think he would have been able to make something happen as well.
Yeah, I think he's got a solid team.
So if Zach, and I know my brother, he's pretty anal about his fantasy, just like I am. So I think he'll be all over this. I think we're going to have like another another player of competition level that we need to beat out on the waiver wires and the trades and everything else. So,
would you say he's going to be all over it like white on rice in a paper plate in a snowstorm?
I would say that's safe to say.
Yeah. Yeah. I think so.
I think so.
Okay. I'm going to go ahead and get my final team like this. It is not the Sanford Waddle Rockets. Yeah, Shane, you did not even make my top six. I'm just kidding. You are the, in my opinion, the top team coming in. But the question is, do you have enough knowledge to be able to keep the correct players? As we mentioned several times, you have a lot of options to go through. I'm going to put my microphone back down while I fix my stuff.
Do I have a lot of options to go through? Is that what he just asked me, Jay?
Yeah, well, do you have the knowledge to pick the correct players?
Yeah, exactly. Well,
nobody knows that to start things off. But
I have a pretty sneaky suspicion that you don't.
Hey, man, I would say, you know, we started this 8 years ago. We actually started planning for the Dynasty 6 years ago. I've done a pretty good job since then.
All right. Yeah, I mean, in all seriousness, you know, we can't deny your four championships. You have a solid team. You've built a good foundation.
Most of them are young. I traded, actually, we had an epic trade years ago, you and I, when I traded you Christian McCaffrey, and I can't remember, it was Cooper Kupp.
Cooper Kupp, yep. You're the reason I have Cooper Kupp.
Yep, for Saquon Barkley and somebody else who's no longer on my team.
Yeah, and I don't know, you know, why I let Christian McCaffrey get out of my grasp. I traded him to Vince for something. I can't remember what.
You traded to Vince for somebody. I cannot remember when that happened. But, I mean, I don't know. Would you rather have, not having either one of them, would you rather have Saquon or Christian McCaffrey right now?
You know, I think I'm going to go with Christian, honestly. Saquon is, you know, he's a beast. There's no denying that fact. But Christian gives you a little bit more of that X factor for explosiveness, where he can have a game of 40 points and out of nowhere.
Definitely. Yeah. No, I'm with you on that. I don't know if I would rather have him on my team just because Saquon's more secure in my mind. They both have security contract wise now because Saquon signed that $11 million contract for the year, but they both also have security within their team. Now, San Francisco scares me because all of their running backs get injured every 3 weeks.
And yeah. Yeah.
McCaffrey has, you know, some injury history. So that scares me too. But Saquon does as well. So I don't know. I think it's a toss up, honestly. You are right. The X factor, the 40 point games, you're not going to get those every, you know, every once in a while out of Saquon. Every once in a blue moon, maybe, but not, you know, you
can't. Not as often. Every couple of weeks.
You can definitely do that for McCaffrey when he's actually in the rotation and getting the reps.
Yeah. But yeah, I think these are, you know, solid picks by us. You know, I think one of the biggest takeaways here between our rankings is we have a tough league. Everyone has a good team. You know, I'm worried about everyone except for Wayne, just because he does not. He doesn't know how to play fantasy football. Let's be real. He's not good at it. He's the Cleveland Browns of our league. You know, Wayne will be Wayne. The Browns will be the Browns.
Well, you can take that target. You can have that all day. I'm going to get enough of his nonsense regardless, cause I'm already the commissioner. So you enjoy
it. Well, I mean, you know, I'm just, his fantasy football record will be a lot like his betting record.
Oh,
not good,
man. Is Wayne going to be the first guest on the show to defend his defend himself from Jay right now? Man, shots fired. Okay, guys, I'm having some equipment malfunction. So, you guys cool to move on?
Yeah.
Piece of white trash.
It's time to trash the commission.
All right, I'm going to keep the music bed rolling. Is it affecting anything as I'm talking? Can you guys still hear me clear? Is it?
Yeah, 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 it sounds good though.
Hold on, we're getting.
I can't.
Some people call me the Space Cowboy.
We're getting a call on the podcast. Let's take the call real quick, actually. All right, you are on the Prime League podcast. Who are we talking with?
Well, my name is Jimmy Bob, and I just want to say I've been waiting this entire episode to trash the commish. God, he's terrible.
Oh, man.
I wish we had a live draft so when he came out to announce the picks, I could boo him.
Oh.
You got boo, commish, boo.
Commish, you have a response.
No, it's fair. These are fair judgments.
Oh, looking more and more like Roger Goodell every day. Oh, he's just accepting the hate. It's okay.
Oh, man. All right. Oh, well, thank you for calling in. Yeah, and if you'd like to call the show, 740-346-5607. If you want to email the podcast, it's PrimeLeaguePodcast@gmail.com. Let's go ahead and reset real quick.
Piece of white trash.
It's time to trash the commish.
All right, let's trash the commish. Who wants to kick things off? You want me to go?
Well, I think, you go ahead, Tim. It's going to be hard to follow up Jim Bob there. But,
Let's see. I think we already did. I think we already kicked things off.
Okay. All right. This is from John from Winthrop, Virginia. Why is the commish thinking about becoming why is the commish thinking about becoming a stand-up comedian? Because his drafting skills are a joke. Okay.
Oh yeah, not bad. I like that. Okay. Winthrop, Virginia. Good one.
God, man, I'm holding on by a thread right now. You guys, I wish you could see it. Okay, this is from Brian from New Orleans. Hold on. There we go. The commish is so bad that team owners have started referring to him as the fantasy fumble king because every decision he makes seems to result in a touchdown for his opponents. Ooh, I don't know. I disagree with that one because he's won so many times. So I think that every decision he makes results in a touchdown for him, which we are looking into, by the way.
Which we are looking into. Including me, just so you know.
Okay, this one is from Bud Billy from Pennsylvania is all it says. Ooh, the commish has a colonoscopy scheduled for tomorrow to check if his power to make a fair ruling has been lost in his bowels. Ooh. Not the only thing lost in his bowels, I'm sure. And finally, this one is from Wayne. That's all it says, Wayne. The commish smells so bad that the odor wafts through the room like a foul interception, leaving everyone scrambling for fresh air, longing for a penalty flag for personal hygiene.
Wait, who's that from?
That was just from Wayne. That's all it said was Wayne.
Wayne? Not my Wayne. He doesn't know how to spell hygiene.
Oh, the commish fires back.
All right, we got to start the beat over again, so let's go ahead and...
Piece of white trash.
It's time to trash the commish.
KJ, it's on you.
I mean, you know, I really just, I was down in Alabama last week and, you know, we were just met some guy on the beach. We were talking about our commishes and, you know, just made me realize that our commish is a lot like the sand. You know, it looks pretty when you look at it, but when you get up close, it just, it's all grainy. It's rough. Can't get it off of you.
Oh,
it's just nasty.
And when you spend the afternoon rolling around in it, it's in crevices that you never even knew you had.
Yeah, exactly. And you know, I really, really equate the commish to just like a mosquito. It just buzzes around, trying to suck the life out of you, then goes on its own business. You know, there's not a lot of good things I could say about the commish. I'll just say that.
Think of it more of like a firefly. You miss it when it's gone.
This guy trying to hype the commish.
Yeah, you're in the wrong segment. But I guess a shitty joke coming from a shitty commish makes sense.
Oh, man. Jay, you want to trash the commission anymore?
You know what? I think I've trashed him pretty good today. You know, Jim Bob had some good comments. Bud Billy had a nice one. Mm-hmm. Whoever was from Winthrop, Virginia, also a good one. So, you know, I think we go ahead and pass it over to Shane. I'm sure he'll not do great at Trash the Commish because, you know, he is the commish, so.
Piece of white trash.
It's time to trash the commish.
All right, Shane, what you got?
Well, I don't have any more trashing, but I did want to follow up on something we touched on earlier. We never actually completed, so keeper lock date is August 27th. 5 days prior to our draft date.
Okay.
The due time is 8 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. That's also the same time that our league dues are set. And from there, we'll also set the draft order, so we'll be able to next 5 days trade draft picks, keepers, all that fun stuff, whatever you guys want to do.
All right, well, it looks like it's all business from the commish. very exciting stuff.
Yeah. All right, guys, I think a pretty successful first week. I think we have some stuff we need to maybe iron out a little bit, but I think it was pretty damn good for the first episode.
Yeah, yeah, I'm excited to get this going. This was a great first show. You know, I think we're going to have a lot of good segments coming up later in the regular season as well. Once we get up and moving next week's episode, we're going to have some preseason action to talk about.
Yeah.
See some teams on the field. We're going to be able to get into some betting picks. You know, I can't remember what we called them. Shane Sorries or something like that, but it's going to be
McLean's Mistakes.
Yeah, McLean's Mistakes.
Shane's
Mistakes. No. If he's right, remember, it's the McLean's Must Takes. If he's wrong, it's the McLean's Mistakes.
Yes, nice. Yeah, so, you know, we'll get into those picks. You know, I'm excited for it all. Glad we're into August. Glad we're getting into football season. Mm-hmm. I'm just ready for it.
Yeah, we got our first preseason actual lineup this weekend. So we got some action going on in the actual football. And hopefully get a taste of some of these players. And we'll just get rip-roaring. And we'll get into this podcast and get a flow going. And we'll be ready to go.
Yeah. Football, what, Friday? Preseason action
Thursday. I think we got some tomorrow.
Yeah, okay. Thursday, Friday, Saturday, and I think we even have two games Sunday.
Okay, let's take a look real quick.
Tim's being abducted once again.
It's whenever I switch over to the ESPN screen. Yeah, two games tomorrow night: Houston at New England at 7 o'clock, Minnesota at Seattle tomorrow night at 10 o'clock. Both of them on the NFL Network. So great show, guys. Looking forward to doing it again next week.
Definitely. Right back at you.
And to all our viewers and Jim Bob and caller number one, we appreciate you calling in. Glad we got a good audience.
Yeah.
Yeah. Good luck and to all the teams and to the callers. Lose our number.
Wow.
All right. We'll talk to you next week. Prime League Podcast. Get in touch with the show. PrimeLeaguePodcast@gmail.com. And you can call us while we're live. Wednesday nights at 7:30 at 740-346-5607. And each show dropping Thursday afternoon right around 12 o'clock. Download the Prime League Podcast wherever you get your podcasts. Just search Prime League Podcast. Till next week, guys.
Rosebud Billy.
Hey, who's on trial?